5.7.
श्रीशुक उवाच
तेनागराजम् आमन्त्र्य
फलभागेन वा सुखिम् परिवीय गिरौ तस्मिन् नेत्रम् अब्धिम् मुदान्विताः आरेभिरे सुरायत्त अमृतार्थे कुरुद्वः So far, you must have studied that demigods lost all their wealth and demons defeated the demigods and they approached the Supreme Lord. And Lord Vishnu told them to make truce with the demons. So when sometimes we are in some trouble, the solution is not so straightforward. We cannot accept solutions from a superior person without being humble, by staying within our comfort zone. For demigods to humble themselves and go in front of the demons, keeping aside their false ego, will you please cooperate with us? Can we work together for this project? How can I work with this fellow for this project? I can do it alone. So they couldn't, they didn't say like that. So His Holiness Radhana Swamaras gave a class on this theme of Samudra Manthan. There are a lot of insights that cooperation Krishna will make two parties cooperate with each other, although they never agree with each other in anything. Whatever the demigod say, demon means by definition he has to say the opposite. Otherwise how can he be called demon? But Krishna's expertise is that he made them agree with each other and work together for a higher purpose. Similarly, if we all give importance and priority to a higher purpose and not give that much importance to one's false ego and being in comfort zone and all these things, then there is always a reason for us to cooperate with anyone. Ultimately this pleases Krishna. Ultimately this pleases Guru. Ultimately this is more beneficial than my being in my comfort zone or my being in my false ego. The comfort zone, what I am saying, is to be within the boundaries of one's false ego. Sometimes to just come out and speak out one single word, one statement to another person with whom you are never in like terms, right? That person is always having a different conception, opposite conceptions from you. So with that person you can't just have a dialogue and then just propose to work together. So if demigods and demons, two completely opposite parties, can cooperate for a higher principle, why can't two devotees, practicing devotees, come together and cooperate for a higher principle? That's the main theme that His Holiness Radhana Swamy has brought out in one class long back. I don't have that notes or transcript or anything like that, but I just remembered some points. So what
the Lord is doing here is his transcendental pastimes. By bringing demigods and demons together through this truce. Krishna could have given nectar pot to the demigods just like that. Take it. Why nectar pot? He would have made them sit on the throne of heaven very easily, within a moment. You can just dethrone the demons and enthrone the demigods within a moment. But he didn't do that. He made them undergo that hard work. So we need to understand that without hard work, nothing is possible, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is favorable to you. We cannot cut corners. We cannot desire for shortcuts. We cannot avoid working hard sincerely. So Krishna is giving this beautiful message through the Samudra Manthan episode. So all the demigods went to the demons and requested them. So this is our proposal. So please agree. Then Bali Maharaj and other demons, they all agreed. And the churning party is ready. One side demigods, one side demons. But with what they will churn? With the Mandara mountain. But there should be churning rope. So they went to Vasuki. So Vasuki is considered to be in mode of ignorance, like a snake. And Vasuki, from his fangs, from his hoods, mouths, fire emanates. So it's considered more on the side of ignorance. But all the demigods and demons promised a share for Vasuki also. We will also give you some nectar. So you please come. So sometimes one may have to do like that. So there should be a truce between the snake and mouse. That analogy comes, right, in the previous chapter. So there is a truce between snake and mouse. Sometimes that happens. So how can they come together and work together for the same purpose? Yeah. Apparently they work together for the same purpose, but ultimately the benefit is reserved for only one person. Whoever is more smart. Here demigods are more smart. And all that smartness is because of their surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord is smartly engaging the demons in this Samudra Manthan and not giving them share. So moralists may condemn this kind of mentality, but Krishna's, this is transcendental morality. So apparently it seems that you promise something and then you break that promise. It's not proper, but it's needed, because that reasons also will come later. When the verses come, we can discuss more. These people are like snakes. Unnecessarily they are inimical to other people. If you give them nectar, then what will happen? Then they will become more powerful and they will perform so many nefarious activities and create havoc in the universe. So they are not meant to receive it. That's why they were cheated. So the verse comes, then we'll discuss more. So now these people approached the demigods and the demons. They all approached Vasuki and promised a share of nectar. So they coiled Vasuki around Mandara mountain as a churning rope, and with great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar. Great pleasure. So when one is working for a nice result, a desirable result, whatever difficulties they need to undergo, they will undergo with happiness. Definitely it's not comfortable for him, but there is a happiness in accepting such discomforts, because the end result is sweet. For example, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gives a session, a Bhagavatam class or some other talk at some temple, and there are so many other temples around. So So devotees come from various places. Right? So Chaupati, there is lecture going on. Some devotees are staying at Virar, some are in Grand Road, just very close by. Some are in Andheri, some are somewhere else, some are somewhere else. But they have to spend 1 hour, 2 hours. Some come from Pune, some come from Nigadi, some come from different places. So there is a lot of hard work and endeavor that they need to undergo. But they are willing, they voluntarily accept all the discomforts in traveling or reaching to that place so that they can get the nectar. Like that. So when we are convinced that, the ultimate result is sweet and nectarian and beneficial and auspicious. Whatever it takes to reach that goal, one will happily accept all that endeavor. Yesterday morning Gauram Prabhu was also mentioning this point. The result is perfection. But at every moment of your practice, you cannot perceive that perfection. So path may be filled with hundreds of difficulties, but the end, there is always perfection. So all these demigods and demons underwent a lot of trouble. All the troubles we will see in this chapter. But still, it was all worth it, because they are going to get the nectar. That's why there is great pleasure. With great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar. Bhakti is also like that. Lot of hard work is there in bhakti. Getting up early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, then deity worship, then lot of shastric study, so many other different kinds of services, cooking, then going for harina, book distribution. There is a lot of hard work that the devotee has to do, the practitioner has to do. But susukham kartum avyayam. In undergoing all these endeavors, great endeavors and hard work, devotee experiences a pleasure, because he knows the result is glorious. The result is to see smile on Guru's face, to see smile on Krishna's face, to make them happy. I don't mind undergoing so much of hard work, because my happiness is there in their happiness. And if my hard work is going to give that happiness to both of us, both parties, why can't I just do this hard work despite all my discomforts? Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parisphurat kundala manditena shonayitena darabimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. The only remuneration that the Supreme Lord gives for all the hard labor underwent by his devotees is his smile. And to see that smile, the devotee undergoes so much of hard work. Right? This is 3.8. Mukhena lokarti harasmitana. Beautiful verse. So that should be the aspiration of a practitioner. So endeavoring with great pleasure, although there's a lot of hard work involved there. That's endeavor. Lot of endeavor, but with pleasure. Okay. Acting enthusiastically. Although we are not enthusiastic, we should act enthusiastically. That's what is mentioned. Next. Harihi purastha jagrihe.
Harihi purastha jagrihe.
Purvam devastato bhavan.
Purvam devastato bhavan.
Purastha is the Ajita. Grasp the front portion of the snake and then the demigod follow.
Here the Lord is also participating in the Samudra Manthan. So, Tannaichan Daitya Patayo Mahapurusha Cheshtitam. Tannaichan Daitya Patayo
Tannaichan Daitya Patayo
Mahapurusha Cheshtitam.
Mahapurusha Cheshtitam.
Nagrihanimo Vayam Pucham.
Nagrihanimo Vayam Pucham.
Aher Angam Amangalam.
Aher Angam Amangalam.
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna.
Svadhyaya Shruta Sampanna.
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhihi.
Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhihi.
Leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by the personality of God and the demigods. Because that portion was auspicious and glorious. Thus the demons on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge and were all famous for their birth and activities protested that they wanted to hold the front of the stage.
So Lord also was participating in this episode, in this churning endeavor. So he took the front portion of the snake. And demigods followed him. They also took the front portion. Then the demons started fighting. So what they have to do, whatever the demigods do, we need to do the opposite. Right? And definitely they have an option to do the opposite, to take the tail. But they felt that we will definitely do their opposite only, but looks like they have taken the best portion. So they should be on the opposite side, we'll go to that side. It's not that all demons also joined along with the demigods to take the front portion. You go to that side, we will be in this side. Like that. So they don't follow. Now they are thinking that how can they take the better portion, inauspicious portion. And what is their conception of this? Svadhyaya srita sampannaha prakhyata janma karma bhi. We are best in Svadhyaya. In our 5S model, that second S, Svadhyaya, is the property of the demons that they are claiming, like that. We are Svadhyaya Srutta Sampannaha. We are well equipped with all Vedic knowledge. We are very well read and well versed in all scriptures. And Prakhyata, we are very famous for our Janma, demoniac birth, and Karma, demoniac activities. Prakhyata janma karma bhi. Our janma is famous, our karma is famous, our learning is glorious. Right? Sadhyaya srita sampanna. So we deserve the best portion. You deserve the worst portion. So you take the time. Like that. So many times.
Actually, here it is said that the Lord Ajita also was there, who was also doing the same thing. It's like some kind of technical question. Initially it came that he appeared as a mountain on the Mount of Mandara and he had 1,000 hands and one hand he was holding it. And the photo they show that Ajita is actually sitting on the top of mountain. So exactly what means he
is... Is he sitting or holding?
He's holding.
You can sit and hold.
When he is participating also, no?
So, in Samudra Manthan, Krishna participates in this whole endeavor in 10 to 12 ways. We'll list down. So I think initially instead of listing now only as the past time, and you want suspense or you want now only
head anyway? I'm saying others are like different incarnations will be coming, but Ajita is one who is coming on
he
the
can
top.
Do both. If Priyavrata can be son in he expanded. So Lord also can expand himself. He expanded his tortoise. He expanded his...
He was sitting and he was holding with one hand from down. Then he expanded...
He also... churning the milk ocean also.
Currently the mandara is in the water. Currently mandara is on the water.
I don't know, they are like kind of placing it.
Because the rope is also cut. I mean, I was just asking because it didn't go down.
Immediately they didn't go down. Exactly at what point did it went down? When did they realize? As soon as it touches water, it should go down, right? So Sukadeva Goswami, as he is narrating, he just says that it's not happening. I don't know. Gravitational force worked, and after 5 minutes of churning, just see the sequence. Okay. So the demigods are thinking that this is auspicious. Actually, more than what is auspicious, head or tail, we need to see more on the practical terms here. If someone catches the head, Vasuki is already just emanating so much of smoke and all. Sometimes one may sentimentally think that this is best and forget the practical side of this issue. So sentimentally one may think that, oh, this is very auspicious to do. I don't want to give any examples and get into controversy.
That's what I'm saying.
So we cannot question the auspiciousness of something, but we cannot neglect the practical side of it. Right? So this is very important. Head is definitely auspicious than tail. But we need to understand that there is a mental concoction
the mind sometimes concocts what is auspicious and what is inauspicious. And time will prove it or disprove it. Right? So, but what is actually auspicious, what is actually inauspicious can be confirmed by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. One is not sufficient. Shastra may say this is auspicious to do. And if we just blindly follow that Shastric injunction, right, without adjusting things according to time, place, circumstances, under the guidance of a Sadhu and Guru. It is Shastra may say like this, but Guru will come and say, yeah, I understand the Shastric principle, but in this context, in your case, at this time, you may have to do this. Right? So that's why three things are mentioned. Everything that is mentioned in Shastra need not be blindly just as it is followed, but that how to follow it has to be guided by a Guru and Sadhu. Right? So this all three should agree. So here Lord picked up the friend part, because Lord also is intelligent, he's acting smartly. If they pick up the friend part, these fellows also will come and ask for the friend part, then automatically we can give them friend part. If they immediately pick up tail part, they'll start thinking, why they picked up tail part? Oh, then they will get the main clue. So Lord kind of did it this way, like that. So to make the demons grasp the friend part and then get more affected by the smoke and heat of Vasuki. Even while the demigods were handling the tail part, still sometimes they also get affected by the smoke and heat that is coming from the other end. What to speak of those who are directly here. It is said that Bhima's one arm has strength of 10,000 elephants. That means he will punch the first elephant. You put 10,000 elephants in queue, he'll punch the first elephant, the 10,000th elephant will fall down. You can imagine what will happen to the first elephant. Right? If demigods were catching the tail part of Vasuki, are still getting heat and you know, smoke and all that, what will happen to the demons who are actually holding the front part, head part? So Lord is very smart in protecting his followers, protecting the demigods. The main difference between these two parties, we cannot blame the Lord for being partial. That's what it is. When someone is more inclined and more dedicated and more surrendered to you, it's the responsibility of any person to give him more attention. He's more dependent on me, so I will give him more attention, simple. That's what Lord is doing. Demigods are more dependent on Krishna. So Krishna is just giving them more attention and giving little more spoon feeding and intervening into every small thing and then protecting them safely. Demons, they are independent of Krishna. They don't want to, they came only for their selfish reason. We want nectar. At the end of Samudra Manthan, took the nectar part, they just ran away. They didn't want to give that share to demigods also. See their thing. So that such people, if they are cheated, no one should have any issue. Right? So Swadhyaya Srita Sampanna. So Prabhupada writes a very nice purport here. Daityas must always do the opposite of demigods. That is their nature. By nature, they want to do something opposite. The difference of opinion will always continue. Prabhupada writes about the competitive desire. Actually, the Supreme Lord thought it wise to catch hold the dangerous part of the snake and allow the demons to hold the tail, which was not so dangerous. But because of a competitive desire, the demons thought it wise to hold the snake near the mouth. So, in one sense, Lord is also kind of showing some kindness towards the demigods also, according to this statement of Prabhupada. Although the Lord can easily expect what they are going to do. But the competitive desire of these people is more prominent. It's not that I didn't get the good thing. How can someone else get the good thing? So because of that. So many times there is a competition, especially in the outside world, corporate world, or even students also, to compete, to become the best, not to become good, to become best, Shrestha. I want to be the best. So in our endeavor to become the best, the actual effort is directed towards how better I can perform than the other person. There is always a comparison with other person, there is always a competition with the other person. I want to prove myself better than him. That's what in his endeavor to be best is. So some schools advertise, in our 10th standard we got first rank, our children got the first rank. So in that town or in that small city, there may be say 10 schools. In the 10th standard, one school student got the first rank, say 94%. Other people got 93.9, 93.8, 93.5, 90, 91, like that. But he got 94. Wow, that's the best school in this town. But you compare that fellow with the other schools in other towns, so someone must have got 95, 97, and he may be the least ranked there. Who knows? So people in this material world are often just have this having this conditioned mentality that I should be best within my pool. But there is a big river outside this pool, there is a big ocean, that they are not bothered. I should be best within this, like that. So there is always a competitive desire. But if one thinks that I got 94%, that's good. I may not have outsmarted my other colleagues, other students, or students of the other schools, or other towns, or other districts, or other states, etc. But it's a good percentage. Fine. Like that. As long as one is satisfied with that, there is no issue. So one can try to do one's best, but may not try to be the best. Right? So in an attempt to try to be the best, one may not actually be the best, because it's always subject to comparison. One may not actually be good. He's best amongst a section of people, but he may not be actually good. But if one tries to be good, whether someone is better than him or lower than him, it doesn't matter to him. I am good. Okay. So, competitive desire. Prabhupada writes that. The answer is that one may be highly educated and may have been born in an aristocratic family, but if he is godless and if he does not listen to the instructions of God, he is a demon. Who is a demon? He may be Swadhyaya Srita Sampannaha Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. In the eyes of the materialistic people, he may be famous, his birth may be famous, aristocratic birth, Kshatriya birth, Brahmana birth. His birth may be famous, his karma, his activities may be famous, his education and learning may be very wonderful. But if he does not follow the instructions of God, then he is a demon. That is the definition given. Karna is there. Karna is very known for his Dhanurvidya. He is a very wonderful bowman. And Karna is also very much known for his charity, charitable disposition. So his valor. Karna is also famous for his dedication to Duryodhan. I dedicate my entire existence for the pleasure of Duryodhan. Whatever he does, that's fine. He may do adharma, but my dharma is to surrender unto him. What he does, I don't mind. So Krishna came and told this fellow, Karna, so you are in a wrong party, you have the option to join the right party. He says, no, I will not join. So Karna may be famous. I am his Srutta Sampanna, what is that? Swadhyaya Srutta Sampanna Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. It may be there. But he is not following Krishna. So he should be kept in the category of demoniac people. So what decides a person's you know, situation is how much he is aligning with the instructions of God. That's a simple statement that Prabhupada gives. So these demons are very proud of their swadhyaya, janma, karma, etc. So pride often makes one stupid. Can't understand a simple point also. Right? They cannot use little common sense also. The feeling that we should be catching the better part of the snake is more than the simple common sense based and rational evaluation that whichever side we may be, we are endeavoring for nectar. Right? We are churning only, we are participating in churning only. Which side I catch, how does it matter? Right? Whether I am in the upper berth or lower berth or middle berth, I am going to Mayapur only. If someone has a leg pain, he cannot climb up all the way, he may choose a lower berth. Or someone is more tired, he wants to be in horizontal position, he can't be sitting down for a longer time. Some people will prefer upper berth. That's a subjective thing. But whichever berth you may be, how can they give me upper berth? How can they give me lower berth? How can they give me accommodation so far from the pandal? How can they give me? So, I am this, I am that. So all this will, considerations will come. After all, we came for the higher purpose of attending yatra, something like that. I mean, all acknowledgements to people's genuine situations and other services and health and physical things. I am just telling in general. So, fourth. इति तूष्णीं स्थितान् दैत्यान् विलोक्य पुरुषोत्तमः स्मयमानो विसृज्याग्रम् पुच्छन् जग्राह सामरः.
Does the demons remain silent, opposing the desire of the demigods? Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him.
So earlier when the Lord caught the head side, demigods followed. Go to the second verse, you see, it ends with saying demigods followed. Right? Now also, when the Lord said, okay, we will catch tail, again they followed. So their dependence, they must have done mistakes, or they may not be very pure devotees or whatever it may be. But the positive side of the demigods is they just follow Krishna. They are dependent on Krishna. They follow the instructions of Krishna. Right? Overall. So without discussion, no discussion. If Krishna recommends, if Guru recommends, if my like a superior person who is my well-wisher, he recommends that this is good for me, no discussion. Without any discussion, they immediately accepted the proposal by grasping the tail of the snake. Because ego is not prominent. Ego is not as important as being in under the protection of a superior.
कृतस्थानविभागास्त
एवं कश्यपनन्दनाः
ममन्तुः
परमं यत्त
अमृतार्थं
पयोनिधिम्.
After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activity, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk.
Mm. Now who will sit where is finalized. Now start the action like that. So they began churning the ocean.
Mathyamanirnave sodrir
anadharo apovishat dhriyamanopi balibhir गौरवात् पांडुनंदन.
O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara mountain was thus being used by as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support, and therefore, although held by strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank in the water.
So right in the beginning only this happened, So far, where were they keeping? Did they keep it on the shore? And now only details are not mentioned. So discussion was going on, and so it just sank in the water because there was no base. So when the foundation is not strong, the building cannot stay for long. So the devotional life has to be based on the foundation of sound vibration. If one's connection with the sound vibration of the holy name and the scripture and the instructions of Guru, if that is not strong, however tall may be one's accomplishments, like Meru Maundara mountain, whatever it may be, they will just sink into the ocean. So one has to have strong support and strong foundation of the sound vibration. So iti sunir vinna manasaha,
tesunirvinna manasaha,
parimlana mukhasriyaha,
asan
svapuruṣe
naṣṭe,
daivena tibaliyasa.
Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of the providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed, and their faces seemed to shrivel.
Tesu nirvinna manasaha. Nirvinna manasaha. Nirvinna dhihi means a lot of moroseness, sadness, discouragement, disappointment, dejection. So that is the situation of all these demigods and demons when the mountain sank. So the, with great endeavor they brought the mountain all the way up to the milk ocean. So earlier when they were trying to lift the mountain, they could not lift and they fell down. They broke their arms and shoulders and thighs, etc. Lord came along with Garuda and picked up that mountain. And then he helped the, to bring the mountain all the way till Samudra Manthan, Samudra, this milk ocean. But now when they began the churning, it just sank. So what will they do? It's not a pot of yogurt where you just take one rod and then churn. It's an ocean. You need a big churning rod. So they were disappointed. Nirvinna dhihi. Parimlana mukhasriyaha. Their faces became very pale. The beauty of their faces is faded. Asan sva paurushe nashte. Paurusha means their own prowess. Nashte. They lost that prowess. So daivena atibaliyasa. Atibaliyasa means very strong. So the daiva, or the will of the providence, the will of the supreme is very strong. So one can never counteract the will of the supreme. So that's the point mentioned here. Daivena atibaliyasa. It's applicable in all walks of life. Because one may plan so well, so meticulously. One may try to organize things, coordinate things in a very perfect way, but daiva is atibaliyasa. The supreme will is totally different. Something else will happen exactly opposite to what you are desiring, what you are planning, what you are envisioning or dreaming about. So all these people, with great pleasure they started in the first verse, with great pleasure they endeavored to churn, but the churning rod sinked. Next. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro.
Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro.
Duranta Viryo Vitathabhi Sandhihi.
Duranta Viryo Vitathabhi Sandhihi.
Kritva Vapuh Kachapam Adbhutam Mahat.
Kritva Vapuh Kachapam Adbhutam Mahat.
Pravishyatoyam Girimujjahara.
Pravishyatoyam Girimujjahara.
Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimited powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain.
Lord expanded as tortoise. Why tortoise? It's a suitable form. It has to go, the Lord has to go under the water. He can go as fish also, mean author also, yeah, he can do as fish also. A tortoise has is known for having a nice shell outside. So he went under the water in that form. Kachapa, Keshava Dhrita Kachapa Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim, Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro. So Vilokya, after observing this Vighna, this obstruction, Isha Vidhim, by the providential arrangement. Who is the providence? He only is the providence. So Lord, initially only, he wanted to enjoy the pastimes of Samudra Manthan. How all he is enjoying? First he enjoyed planning, scheming. He conducted a meeting. There is a pleasure there also. Lord wants all kinds of pleasure. He conducted a meeting and he just passed a policy or whatever, instruction that you go and make truce with these people. So these people have to humble themselves and then go negotiate with the demons. And the demons were trying to attack, and Bali said, no, they are not in a mood to fight, relax. Let's see what their proposal is. And then they humbled themselves, presented the proposal. So as a leader of this whole endeavor and project, he is like engaging the other participants in such menial work, trying making them humble themselves. So they did that, and when they were stuck in carrying the mountain, then the Lord himself helped them carry the mountain, and he also brought the demons. Now when the demons died, demons kind of collapsed, Lord did not leave them. Lord revived them also, and he brought them also to the milk ocean, right? So ultimately they were trying to become victorious over the demigods, victorious over the demons only. But one should not be over enthusiastic to take advantage at every step. One should have some patience, right? So here it's not always correct. Sometimes it may be okay, but it is not always correct. So now some demigods died, fine, no problem, we'll leave them and I will revive only the demigods. We'll take them, they may be less in number, that's all right. Otherwise, why they have to be brought in the first place itself? So if once this kind of intentions are revealed right in the middle of the endeavor only, they will get a different message. So when we are cooperating with someone else, we should not try to do that in the mood of taking advantage and exploiting them, but also trying to be kind to them while doing the activity together, right? So, but because they are cooperating with demons, ultimately Lord has to behave in certain ways. But this principle from that one act of reviving the demigod, demons also along with the demigods, we can take a message from that. So after that, the Lord helped them by expanding himself, by he himself participating in the churning. Later he tried to become Kurma and held the mountain from bottom, give a support to it. So here is the evidence that the Supreme Lord is the controller of everything. So the demons regard these hindrances to be what? To be happenings by chance. But the demigods consider them the will of the Supreme. And once they consider them as the will of the Supreme, what do? They don't blame the Lord. They consider them as results of their own past activities and accept them as will of Supreme and do the needful and depend on the Supreme Lord and also take shelter of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada says here. So devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Lord, and regard them as benedictions also. So it is only by the will of the Supreme Lord that all these hindrances are obstacles in one's endeavors will come, and it is only by his will that those obstacles will be removed. He can create obstacles, he can remove obstacles also. He can type the matter, he can press Ctrl S or Ctrl Z or Ctrl Y or delete the file, Ctrl X, whatever way he wants he can do. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. He can do, he can undo. He can do something else also. So that is the Lord's speciality. That's why he is described here as Duranta Virya. In the second line you see Duranta Virya is inconceivably powerful. Duranta Virya, where else it comes? Arthanga Pane. Saveda Dhatum Padavim Parasya Duranta Virya Sarthanga Pane. Next, Duranta Virya. Next word is Avitatha Abhisandha. Abhisandha means this determination. Avitatha means infallible. He has infallible determination and he has unsurpassable powers. Right? By the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of tortoise. When problems come, Lord will not just step back. He will, apparently he may seem like that. When Kalayavana and Jarasandha both are simultaneously attacking, Lord just ran away. Apparently it seems that he is running away. He does not have the determination. But he was so determined to kill Kalayavana right now. That's why he ran to the cave of Muchikunda. Then woke up Muchikunda and made Kalayavana die. So the Lord's determination will never fall off. It was by the will of the Lord there were hindrances, and by his will those hindrances were removed. Tamuttitam viksha kula chalam punaha.
Tamuttitam viksha kula chalam punaha.
Samudyata nirmathitum surasuraha.
Samudyata nirmathitum surasuraha.
Dadhara prishtena salaksha yojana.
Dadhara prishtena salaksha yojana.
Prastarina dvipa ivapa romahan.
Prastarina dvipa ivapa romahan.
The demigods and demons saw that Mundara mountain had been lifted. They were in line there. To begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great Totans, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island.
800,000 miles. So demigods and demons, they were earlier discouraged. Now they are encouraged because of Lord's intervention. Not mobile, see, this is making some sound. Oh, because okay. Tam uttitam viksha, when the mountain was being lifted like that, kulachalam punaha, again, samudyata nirmathitam surasuraha, again they became enthusiastic and enlivened to chant the milk ocean. Tadhara prishtena salaksha yojana prastharina dvipa ivaparo maha. This huge body of Kurma avatar that is looking like an island. Surasurendrair bhujavirya vepatam.
Surasurendrair bhujavirya vepitam.
Paribhramantam girimanga prastha.
Paribhramantam girimanga prasthata.
Bibhrat tadavartatamadi kachapo.
Bibhrat tadavartatamadi kachapo.
Meneng kandu yanamaprameyah.
Meneng kandu yanamaprameyah.
O king, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation.
So scratching body, that's all he can. Mandara mountain is just rotating on his body and he is feeling a scratching and itching sensation. So that comes in the 12th canto, last chapter also. May that Lord protect us, like that, in connection with Bhagavatam recitation, this Lord's Kachapa incarnation is mentioned there. He did not feel any inconvenience. On the contrary, he apparently felt some itching sensation. And it was so pleasing for him. So Krishna can enjoy in any circumstances. He can enjoy underwater, he can enjoy above waters, he can enjoy in jail, he can enjoy in forest, he can enjoy lifting so much weight. He can enjoy in Mother Yashoda's lap, he can enjoy when Pranavata takes him 800,000 miles high. There as Krishna, he went 800,000 miles high in the sky. Now as Kurma, he expanded 800,000 miles wide. His body is 800,000 miles wide.
This is the only time Kurma Avatar appears. No other function of Kurma Avatar.
Yeah, only thing which we know, which is mentioned popularly. Next, Tatha Suran Vishad.
उद्दीपयन्
देवगणांश्च
विष्णुर्
दैवेन नागेन्द्रमबोधरूपः.
Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion. The demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy.
Uddipayan means encouraging. Krishna wanted to encourage them. Now that the churning started, after a lot of endeavor, there were always interruptions so far in carrying the mountain or making, allowing the mountain to stand in the waters or whatever. Now that it started, it should not stop. Let them be encouraged. And different people need encouragement in different ways. Not everybody can be encouraged in the same way. Someone is encouraged if you give them sweet. And someone is encouraged if you give them chili. Right? Someone is not so much into sweets. Someone likes spicy stuff. They will feel more excited there. And someone wants something moderate. Right? Like that. So, Vasuki is said to be in mode of ignorance, demigods are said to be in mode of goodness, and demons are said to be in mode of passion. So, because these three are different categories of people, they have to be encouraged in different ways. So, Krishna encouraged them by increasing the mode in which they are particularly in. So, that's how he encouraged. Abodha Rupaha means by the quality of ignorance he encouraged the serpent Vasuki. Everyone in this material world is under different modes. There were three different parties in the churning mantra mountain, this I summarized. So like that Krishna encouraged. Uparyagendram Girirad Ivanyam.
Uparyagendram Girirad Ivanyam.
Akramya Hastena Sahasra Bahu.
Akramya Hastena Sahasra Bahu.
Tasthau Divi Brahma Bhavendra Mukhyai.
Tasthau Divi Brahma Bhavendra Mukhyai.
Abhishtuvad Bhes Sumano Bhi Vrishtaham.
Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara mountain, like another great mountain, and held Mandara mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, king of heaven, and other demigods, offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him.
So, not that all demigods are participating in this. Some people are still there, upper planetary systems, to shower some. Shiva is not there, Brahma is not there. Looks like Indra is also not there.
Never.
According to this verse, along with Indra, offered prayers.
But he is not in even upper planetary systems also, no? Bali Maharaj is there.
Huh?
He has lost his kingdom also, no?
I didn't get.
Means Indra has lost his kingdom also.
Lost his kingdom. Where is he standing? From his, may not be from his throne. That's a geographical location only. He may not be sitting. He is Indra, but dethroned Indra or whatever. Next.
Uparyadhascha Atmani
Gotra Netrayoh.
Uparyadhascha Atmani Gotra.
श्रोत्र नेत्रयोः
परेण ते प्राविशत समेधितः ममन्थुरब्धिं तरसा मधुत्कटा महाद्रिणाक्षोभितनक्रचक्रम्
The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain, and who had entered the demigods, the demons, and Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way.
So how they were endeavoring is mentioned here. All of them were working so enthusiastically and as if they were mad, and alligators were being agitated, still it continued. So in the course of doing one's activity, sometimes some people may get agitated or perturbed, but still if one is convinced about the goal, one has to move ahead. Next.
अहिंद्र साहस्र कठोर दृढ़मुख श्वासाग्नि धूमा हतवर्चसोसुरः पौलोम काले यबलील्वलादयो दावाग्निदग्धाः सरला इवाभवन्
Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons headed by Pauloma, Kaleya, Bali and Ilvala. Thus the demons who appeared like Sarala trees burned by a forest fire gradually become powerless.
So Vasuki has thousands of hoods, so from all that smoke and fire emanated and that affected the demons.
Devamsya tatsvasa sikha hataprabhan
Devamsya tatsvasa sikha hataprabhan
Dhumrambarasrag varakanchukananan Samabhyavarshan Bhagavad Vashaghana Vavuhu Samudro Armyupagudha Vayago
Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their body luster diminished and their garments, weapons and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods leave.
Devamsya tatsvasa sikha hataprabhan. The svasa, the breathing of Vasuki, that too, when it is being churned, his whole body is just being coiling the Mandara mountain and it's like rubbing. So in that context, the swasa, the breathing of Vasuki became very intense and smoke and fire was coming and that affected even the demigods on the other side, who are on the tail side.
Dhumrambra srag vara kuchan kanchuka ananam. So kanchuka ananam, the faces and their ornaments and the dresses, all of them become very smoky. So the Lord very kindly expanded as clouds, or he created clouds and poured torrents of rain with nice breezes, and he was carrying small particles of water through the wind as the clouds were giving nice pleasant showers. So that gave the demigods relief.
मध्यमानात् तथा सिंधोर देवासुरवरूथपैः यदा सुधा न जायेत निर्ममन्था जितः स्वयं
The nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons. The supreme personality god Ajita personally began to churn the ocean.
So he also participated. Initially also he was a part of the team, but here his mention is very specifically there. So in this context he also participated personally. So there maybe to encourage them he just picked up the side just to finalize the teams, which side he will stand. Batting first or bowling first.
मेघश्यामः कनकपरिधिः कर्णविद्योत विद्युन् मूर्ध्नि भ्राजद्विलुलितकचः स्रग्धरो रक्तनेत्रः जैत्रैर्दोर्भिर्जगतभयधैर् दन्धुशूकं गृहीत्वा मथनन् मथना परिगिरिर्विव शोभतादो द्रुताद्रिः
The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning, and his hair spread over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which awarded fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indraneela.
मेघश्यामः कनक परिधिः कर्ण विद्योत विद्युन्
Whatever activity the Lord does, His beauty is often described by Sukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam. Whether He takes the form of a boar or Narasimha, Vamana, His beauty is always wonderfully described. Meghasyama, He is appearing blackish like a cloud. Kanaka Paridhi, wearing golden or yellowish garments. Karna Vidyota Vidyut, His earrings are like lightning. They are very resplendent and shining. Murdhani Bharajat Vilulita Kachaha. So on his head, Bharajat, gleaming Vilulita, disheveled Kachaha, whose hair. Sragdharaihi, he is wearing a nice flower garland. Raktanetrai, his eyes were ready, very reddish. So like that, his various aspects of his beauty are wonderfully described as he was churning the milk ocean. The Lord was appearing like a beautifully situated mountain named Indraneela. Nirmathamana udadhera bhud vishwam.
Nirmathamana udadhera bhud vishwam.
Maholbanam hala halavadham agrata. Sambhranta meenon makhari kachapat.
Sambhranta meenon makhari kachapat.
Timidvipagraha timingala kulat.
Timidvipagraha timingala kulat.
The fish, sharks, tortoises and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles and Timingala fish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, the first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called Hala Hala.
First Hala Hala came, this poison. Hala Hala.
Okay. Tadugra vegam dishidishyuparyadho.
Tadugra vegam dishidishyuparyadho.
Visarpadutsarpadasahyamaprati.
Visarpadutsarpadasahyamaprati.
Bhitah prajadun durdruvranga sarveshvara.
अरक्षमाणाः शरणं सदाशिवम्।
Okay, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods along with the Lord himself approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him.
So far, the Lord helped all the demigods and demons in various ways in this churning of milk ocean, by lifting the Mandara mountain, by expanding himself as Kurma, by holding the mountain from top and by supporting the mountain from bottom as Kurma, and by sending clouds that can shower very pleasant rains and give them water particles, and by also empowering them with mode of goodness, passion and ignorance as they deserve to be. But in this context, he gave credit to Shiva. Which is more popular? Shiva's drinking poison is most popular. But Lord Ajita's participation in Samudra Manthan, we come to know only when we read Bhagavatam in ISKCON. Before coming to ISKCON, all of us know, at least most of us know the Samudra Manthan pastime, and the hero there is Shiva to drink for drinking halahal. How many of us know the demons like Trinavarta, Bakasur, Aghasur, Arishtasur, Vyomasur, Keshi? All these are not very popular demons. They are more powerful demons than Duryodhan, Shakuni, Dushyasana and all these people. These people are much more powerful. But Krishna maintained a low profile and gave more credit to Arjuna. Before coming to ISKCON, we definitely know Shakuni. We definitely know who is that? Duryodhan, Dushyasana, and maybe Jarasandha also, we know. So the demons, Karana, the demons killed by the devotees of Krishna are more popular. Right? So devotees got more popularity than Krishna in killing demons. Dharma samsthapanarthaya, then vinashayacha dushkritam is done by Krishna, and he has done lot of vinash. 17 akshohinis, 17 times, each time around 23 akshohinis of Sena, of Jarasandha, Krishna defeated. But hardly anyone knows it. That this news is not so popular. That did not go viral. But Bhima killed Jarasandha, that went viral. That was not so breaking. So it, many times so much such popular news, pieces of news are, they don't gain popularity. Although they are like very striking events, they don't gain popularity because they are not advertised sufficiently. So here devotees' deeds are advertised more than the Lord's deeds. Right? So Krishna could have handled this poison very easily, but he wanted to give that credit to Lord Shiva. So he maintained a low profile, and he encouraged all the demigods to go and approach Lord Shiva more than he himself taking that credit. So one of the qualities of Krishna as described in Rudra Gita was Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. He is a collection of all beauty. So that word or that line of that verse is not only indicating his beauty, physical beauty, which is definitely true, but is more his internal beauty, the beauty of his character, in giving more credit to the devotees. He orchestrated the entire Kurukshetra war, and he killed many more demons, more than how many were killed in Kurukshetra war also. But all the credit went to the Pandavas, and especially Arjuna and Bhima, for being the heroes of Kurukshetra battle, as Krishna just took the role of a chariot driver and not anything more. But he gave more credit. He gave more credit. Although Lord Chaitanya predicted, Prithvite Achade Nagaradigram, Sarvatra Pachara Hoibe Merana, but that credit went to Prabhupada. And Six Goswamis, it is
Lord Chaitanya, who inspired Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami at Dashashvamedha Ghat and Prayaga, he gave them teachings. Madhya Leela is filled with the teachings of the second half is filled with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Rupa Goswami one full chapter, 19 chapters elaborately. Sanatana Goswami 5 chapters, very huge chapters, hundreds of verses in each chapter. So, but the credit of reviving Vrindavan and establishing various temples in Vrindavan and being friends with all the residents of Vrindavan was reserved to the Goswamis. Dhira Adhira Janapriyo Priyakaro. When Krishna was there in Vrindavan, some people were loving him, demons were inimical towards him. But when devotees of Krishna are there in Vrindavan, he is Dhira Adhira Janapriyo. He is the devotees are very favorably disposed to, and even the gentlemen and ruffians are also favorably disposed to the devotees. So Krishna thus gives credit, more credit to his devotees than what he takes for himself, because he is not an insecure master. Generally, any master in this material world feels insecure to give more credit to their subordinates. He will surpass me, he will become more popular than me, he will become more stronger and influential than me. If I just delegate all these things to him, if I allow him to sign, if I allow him to do this and do that, he will just take over me, he will outsmart me. He seems to be a little more talented than me also. Why should I just allow him to do this? I will not do this. I will only do. How long you will do? So you don't have the much strength, because the material, but the people in this material world, they may think like that to run the show themselves, to keep their name only till the end and not allow their subordinates or other people to gain some glory. But there is a limitation. They cannot rule forever. But Krishna has full opportunity to rule forever, to be the popular, to be the one and only performer forever, but he takes a low profile. Right? So although one does not have the capacity and ability to perpetually stay in the topmost position or in the most popular and attention attracting position forever, still the conditioned soul endeavors to be in that position by subduing other people who are trying to come up. But Krishna, he had full opportunity. He has the full opportunity, but he always encourages other people to become more prominent than him. Your words should get more value than my words. Right? You declare like that. So now Shiva is getting the glory. And it's a fact we can see. In our own practical lives we can see Samudra Manthan means the hero is Shiva. We know that since childhood. But only after coming to ISKCON we came to know that it's Lord who has orchestrated this whole thing. So Lord's presence or Lord's participation was like practically unknown to the people in the outside world till they come and read Bhaktivedanta purports, till they come and read Sukadeva Goswami's Bhagavatam. Is it not? It's lots things are unknown practically. Lots activities. Why? Pandava's activities are more popular, Mahabharata and all the intriguing things, but Krishna's role is like very, he takes one of the roles in Mahabharata. 20th verse. Vilokyatam deva varam trilokya
Vilokyatam deva varam trilokya
Bhavaya devya abhimatam muninam
Bhavaya devya abhimatam muninam
Asina madra vapa vargaheto
Asina madra vapa vargaheto
Tapojushanam stutibhi pranemuhu
Tapojushanam stutibhi pranemuhu.
The demigods observed Lord Shiva sitting on the summit of Kailash Hill with his wife Bhavani for the auspicious development of the devas. He was being worshipped by great saintly persons desiring liberation. The demigods offered him their obeisances and prayers with great respect.
demigods went and offered prayers to Lord Shiva. He was sitting with Bhavani. Next few verses are dedicated to glorification of Lord Shiva, prayers to Lord Shiva. So here is a very important point which I mentioned in Bhagavad Subodhani 4th canto also. Here, Shiva will be glorified as if he is the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada very nicely clarifies that these prayers are actually meant for Lord Vishnu. And why Shiva is being glorified like this? Because he is a representative of Lord Vishnu. Whenever the Lord acts in this material world, he acts through Lord Shiva. Because Lord does not directly touch matter. So who touches matter? Shiva touches matter. So Lord Vishnu, as long as he does not touch matter. But when Vishnu touches matter, he is called Shiva. Like that. So in that capacity, Shiva is glorified as if he is the Supreme Lord. We have seen the glorification of the Lord in various chapters as the universal form. But the universal form description will be applicable to Shiva. So universal form is Shiva's form. That is described in these prayers. Prabhupada puts that in the proper context and perspective by saying very wonderfully that because Shiva is an incarnation of the Lord, he is endowed with special power like that of Lord Vishnu. So these prayers are offered actually to Vishnu, not to Shiva. And these prayers are actually offered to Shiva in the sense that he is representing Vishnu. In that sense, he is as good as Vishnu. Vishnu comes in the sacrificial arena of Daksha. And there, Vishnu says, you can't disrespect Shiva. If you think I am the Supreme and you are respecting me and you can disrespect Shiva or Brahma, then that's an offense. Right? We are all same. Like that he says. So they are same in the sense that they are one in purpose. That way. There also Prabhupada writes the same thing. They are one in purpose. But our second offense is there. To consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu is an offense. So we understand the position of Vishnu, and whenever we are glorifying or we are seeing or reading the glorification of Lord Shiva in this way, we need to understand that they are being glorified as representatives of Vishnu. Okay, there is no confusion or there is no contradiction in these things. Even Shiva also glorifies, even Brahmaji glorifies Shiva as if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the 4th canto, 6th chapter. When he comes to pacify Lord Shiva after Virabhadra kills Daksha. And sometimes Brahma is glorified as if he is the Supreme Lord. You are the time factor, you are this, you are that. Demigods glorified. They are being glorified only as representatives of the Lord. So we will see the prayers after the break. 11:49. 12 o'clock we can meet. Shri Prajapataya Uchuhu
Shri Prajapataya Uchuhu
Deva Deva Mahadeva
Deva Deva Mahadeva
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana
Trahinaha Sharanapannam
Trahinaha Sharanapannam
Trailokya Dahanad Vishat
Trailokya Dahanad Vishat
Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadeva, super soul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity. We have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds.
So Deva Deva Mahadeva, they say that you are the best of the demigods. Bhutatman Bhutabhavana. Bhutatman means you are the life and soul of everyone. Bhuta Bhavana means you are the Prabhupada translates it as cause of the happiness and flourishing. It can also be taken as the creator. Bhuta Bhavana. Okay. and we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet, now please save us from this fiery poison. Whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Vishnu is indicated, for otherwise Shiva is meant for destruction. How can Shiva be described as Bhuta Bhavana? They are meant for Vishnu. We already discussed that mood behind these prayers. Tamekaha sarva jagata Ishvaro bandha mokshayo Tam tvamarchanti kushala Prapannarti haram gurum.
O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and depression of the entire universe because you are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto you, and therefore you are the cause of mitigating their distresses, and you are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship your Lordship.
Tvamekaha sarva jagata Ishvaro bandhamokshayoho. You are the only person who can relieve the entire universe from bondage. It's correct. In the capacity of Shiva's being a devotee. Shiva is Vaishnavanam yatha shambhoha. And a Vaishnava, by his teachings on devotional service, can deliver the entire universe from all bondage of material enjoyment. Bandha moksha yoho. Tam tvam archanti kushalaha prapannarti haram gurum. So we are worshipping you for mitigating our distress, current distress. What is that distress? Because of this halahal, because of this dangerous poison that emanated from our churning of milk ocean, we are in great distress. And you are known to be Prapanna Arti Haram. Whoever surrenders unto you, their distresses are completely gone. That's how we describe you, Prapanna Arti Haram. So please, Hari, Hara, please help us. So, next, 23. Lord Vishnu acts through Lord Shiva in the creation of the material world. Shiva acts on behalf of Vishnu. Vishnu is Aham Bija Pratapitaha, but Vishnu is always untouched by material activities, and when material activities are to be performed, he does them through Vishnu, through Shiva. Shiva is therefore worshipped on the level of Vishnu. Gunamaya Svashaktyasya
Gunamaya Svashaktyasya
Sargasthityapya Yan Vibho
Sargasthityapya Yan Vibho
Dhatse Yada Sadrik Bhuman
Brahma
Vishnu Sivabhidam
Brahma Vishnu
Sivabhidam. O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy, and you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar when you act in creation, maintenance and annihilation.
So this is clearly meant for Vishnu, this prayer. Lord Vishnu is offering, is acting as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva.
This point that whenever Vishnu interacts with the material nature, he becomes Shiva. Now, critical activity of some of the material is also in dealing with material nature in the sense of churning and everything. So, as soon as contact comes, it's material nature, but then Lord Vishnu is acting over there.
Lord does not contact material nature through all his pastimes. Lord may apparently seem to do so, but he derives transcendental pleasure in his dealings with devotees or in his various activities in various incarnations. As Ajita, he may be orchestrating this Samudra Manthan episode. As Rama, he is maybe fighting with Ravana and then building that Setu and doing many other things. So all these are not actually coming in contact with material nature. To create the material world, Lord acts through Shiva for creation. And once it is created, Lord will enter that creation and enact so many pastimes. Anything in this? Because every now and then Krishna descends in the form of an incarnation. All these are not contacts with matter. The jail superintendent is different. When the king enters the jail, he does so many other activities. You cannot say that he is actually engaged in the nitty-gritties of all the affairs of the prison house. He comes, he does various activities, he interacts with some prisoners also, he interacts with the other jailers and clerks and attendants and other soldiers also. But all as a part of his pastimes and interactions, but nothing connected with the, what to say, core management or what to say, functioning of the jail, which is primarily meant to be done by the jail superintendent or the jail in charge, who works under the king. King only created the prison cell through the jail authorities, and jail authorities only are handling the whole prison house. Sometimes he will come and interact and then he goes. That's how whenever Lord active performs various activities or pastimes or in various incarnations, you cannot technically call them dealings with matter.
Contact means act of reproduction.
Creation. Material creation. It's like between Shiva and the Supreme Lord, there is another personality. Any guesses? Advaita Acharya. Now, the owner of a property, someone has say 50 acres land, he wants to make a big estate there or build a nice office or company in that campus, he may do something. He envisions and he appoints an architect who plans how to convert the vision of this proprietor into an action. That architect plans and then makes a master plan, blueprint of all the buildings. So this building here, this building here, like that. And there is, and he also will not work. He will not touch the matter. So who does? The mistri. The mistri, the mason actually touches the brick and cement and reti and all these things. So Vishnu is the person who is envisioning this project, building. And Advaita is the one who is giving the architecture plan. Shiva is the mistri. And actual ingredients is the material nature, the bricks and reti and cement and all these things are the material nature. So Vishnu is only acting. Unless Vishnu envisions, unless the proprietor wants a building, how can the mistri work? Mistri's every work can be attributed to the proprietor. And if you say, if someone comes and glorifies the proprietor as you have made such wonderful buildings, it's not wrong. He only has made, but he did not touch. He never touched the cement. He never touched the brick. And if someone glorifies the mastery that you have made wonderful buildings, that is also not wrong. Right? Both have made the buildings in various capacities. Now when you are glorifying the proprietor as the maker of the building, you are acknowledging him as the ultimate controller and ultimate proprietor, the boss. And when you are glorifying the mastery, you are glorifying him as a person who is representing that proprietor, who is acting based on the will of the proprietor, order of the proprietor, instruction of the proprietor. Hands on. And allow other thing, other people also to come. Yeah. Okay. 24. Tvam Brahma. You have a question now.
What is the role of Brahma in this description?
Brahma is the secondary creator, it's mentioned. And Shiva Tattva, even Advaita Tattva also, is not very clearly mentioned. Brahma's role is very elaborately described in 3rd canto 12th chapter and 3rd canto 20th chapter and every now and then. Shiva is mainly meant for destruction. That is his popular description. But in one Brahma Samhita verse and some purports here and there and like this, we only understand that Shiva Tattva, that Lord acts in this material world through Shiva. Jagataha Pitaram Vande Parvati Parameshwaru. So Parvati and Shiva are actually the father and mother of this entire creation. So in that sense, how to actually reconcile, we need more explanation, more references. I'm just speaking based on limited references that I have studied. But Brahmaji's role, which Shiva was told to create in 3rd Ganta 12th chapter. He was creating people of the destructive nature. And Brahmaji said, you relax and then go and do meditation. Then Shiva went for meditation. So if you also find some references, you can just get back to me. I can go beyond what is given in Bhagavatam and see some purports here and there. Advaita Tattva also not very elaborately described. Hardly 5-6 verses come in the Adilila 6th chapter. But whatever is mentioned, whatever I learned, I just told you. Shiva Tattva.
Tvam Brahma Paramam Guhyam,
Tvam Brahma Paramam Guhyam,
Satasat Bhava Bhavanam,
Satasat Bhava Bhavanam,
Nana Shakti Virabhataha,
Nana Shakti Virabhataha,
Tvam Atma Jagadishwaraha,
Tvam Atma Jagadishwaraha.
You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally for Brahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation.
Next, this is offered to Brahman. 25. Tvam shabda yonir jagadadiratma.
Tvam shabda yonir jagadadiratma.
Pranendriya dravya gunah svabhavah.
Pranendriya dravya gunah svabhavah.
Kalah kratuh satyamritam cha dharma.
Kalah kratuh satyamritam cha dharma.
Tvayaksharam yat trivrud atman. Nanti.
O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes, and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth, satya, and truthfulness, rath. You are the center of syllable om, which consists of three letters, in yom.
Auma. Agnirmukham te khila devatatma.
Agnirmukham te khila devatatma.
Kshitim vidhir vidurloka bhavanghri pankajam.
Kshitim vidurloka bhavanghri pankajam.
Kalam gatim te khila devatatmano.
Kalam gatim te khila devatatmano.
Dishaschakarnau rasanam jalesham.
Dishaschakarnau rasanam jalesham.
O father of all planets, learned scholars, know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are your ears, and Varuna, master of the waters, is your tongue.
These are all universal forms. Read the next translation.
O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind. And the upper planetary system is your head.
Next.
O Lord, you are the three Vedas. You are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras by Gayatri are the seven layers of your body. And the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the supreme truth, known as the Paramatma. O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transmitted to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or the King of Heaven, Mahendra.
In this purport, Prabhupada quotes Mayatadam Adam Sarvam Jagadam Vyakta Murtina, how the Lord pervades in the universe in his impersonal feature as Avyakta Murti. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti svasesha vasudadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam asesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajam. So there is impersonal feature of the Lord by which the Lord pervades throughout the universe, and Mayavadis prefer to merge into that Brahman effulgence and they worship Lord Shiva. So the mantras that they chant are total, how many Prabhupada gave? 38 he gave. So yeah, 29, he refers to
29.
So he just gave for extra reference. We can go through.
Mantras from where?
From various scriptures and other things. Someone who is familiar only.
The first line.
Only the first line is given. Like in Subodhi we give, right? First two words we give, dot dot dot, same thing. Sorry, we take from here. Other way.
This prayers surely look for the Supreme Lord so many times, but Supreme Lord is standing by the side. So like suppose now a parampara person hears the glorification that you have saved. So usually it is like if the superior is standing, then he will not like to hear him that being the,
he'll feel little embarrassed.
So from Lord Shiva's side, I'm wondering how he's like when the Lord is standing, he uses, you are saying everything what Lord Vishnu should get to hear. To hear as a representative also, you do it when the person is not there. But if someone is there, then you can just sit and hear all.
Never
I think it's too much, you know. Standing by the side of the Lord.
Okay. That's the Prabhupada writes in 32nd purport, first line. Shiva considers the great acts he performs to be very unimportant. What was to be said of counteracting the strong poison produced by churning? All the demigods prayed to Lord Shiva. He is just standing and hearing all that without paying much attention to it. Shiva is on a different plane generally, right? So for a regular person it may be embarrassing, but he is not giving any importance on it. What is the action item? Drink the poison. Okay, I'll go and drink poison. And he is absorbed in his chanting. That's all. So some people wouldn't mind. Right? Some are like, their humility is like intact, right? But he is certainly not taking all these prayers to the heart and becoming proud or anything like that. So in the presence of the Lord, Lord is allowing it. Lord is orchestrating the whole scene. He himself came with the demigods to take assistance of Lord Shiva. Shiva is just acknowledging and then responding to that call. And whatever prayers are there, we may be reading whatever 10-15 verses here. But they must have taken a few minutes to recite that. So Shiva just silently hears and then moves ahead.
One component was from the demigod side. Like they are aware of the Supreme Lord. First they approach the Supreme Lord, and the Lord only made the arrangement of this whole program. And now they are glorifying Lord Shiva. So
even as a representative when one is glorifying, but here they are glorifying that it is not understanding even by Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or King of Heaven. So they cannot
over exaggerate
it against the like glory of the Supreme Lord. This like then it becomes like flattery only. That you are the only one, then aap hi sab kuch hai hamare liye. So they are really seeing them, that person as a representative, and they can only say that you have done so much. Means they can glorify as much as the Supreme Lord, but they cannot say Supreme Lord cannot also do that what you did. Then that means it's flattery.
Supreme Lord cannot do it.
No, yeah,
even Vishnu or the King of Heaven Mahendra. See, some of these statements we cannot take very literally. Yeah, I know you are quoting from 31st verse. So we cannot take all these statements literally, and they don't mean it literally also. Sometimes it's a conventional way of saying it. No one can do it. Even Vishnu cannot do it. So something like that. In terms of the actual work that Shiva must be doing, maybe Vishnu is not actually engaged in it. Right? Vishnu is not actually doing it. Shiva is doing it through Shiva. He has the ability, but Shiva is popularly known for doing it. Right? In that sense, maybe there is some kind of over-exaggeration or something like that. But all these things should not be taken as literal statements. Sometimes, Durapa hi alpatapasa seva vaikuntha vartmasu etropagiyate nityam deva devo janardhanah. People who are of alpatapasa, meager austerity, cannot get an opportunity to serve devotees. They don't get an opportunity to render service to pure devotees. That does not mean that austerity is a qualification to get Vaishnava Seva. It's just a conventional way of saying it. So something here also, many statements just come like that in a conventional way, but all of these statements should not be taken very literally. We need to understand the context in which it is being said. That's why Prabhupada very clearly clarifies here.
It may not be taken literally, but I am asking that is it that because the demigods are having a sense of hamara kaam banna chahiye, our work should get done.
Although it is not clearly mentioned, sometimes demigods tend to think like that also. Sometimes demigods may do that because they are not pure devotees. There is some mixed thing, and there is also an aspiration in their hearts to attain the heavenly planets. Some kind of selfish tendency is there. At the same time, they want to sit there and do service to the Lord only. At the same time, they also have an inclination to control also. That's why they are in the mixed platform. Devotees who are having pure consciousness will want to serve only the Supreme Lord. Other people, they just want to control the material nature only. These people have both tendencies. Right? So, sometimes they will do Dadichi, they will go to Dadichi. And Dadichi clearly says, even if Vishnu demands my body, why should I give my body? Because body is so dear. Even at the cost of one's own dharma, one will protect one's body. One should not speak lie. That is dharma. But one can speak lie also to protect his body. Even Vishnu may demand it, I cannot give my body. So he may say, Dadichi said all that, then still the demigod said, no, you should, please. You know what all they said in 6th canto, 10th chapter. So, it could be. I can't say it is definitely the thing, somehow they want to get the work done, but it could be the case also.
Are there any examples of pure devotees offering such kind of prayer ever to demigods? Because like Bharat Maharaj is worshipping the demigods, but seeing the Supreme Lord through the whole thing, and his mind is absorbed in that way. That is coming out through purports of. But here the meaning is not getting clear, that what their intention is. Their intention is not coming clear, but have any pure devotees ever glorified Lord Shiva or someone?
Brahma
Brahmaji glorifies Lord Shiva in 4th canto 6th chapter. Something similar. Putting him on the position of the Supreme Lord. You are the Father. They are all not wrong also. You can't take it literally. At the same time, they are not wrong also. There could be some little amount of exaggeration and they are more applied to Supreme Lord. But it's not that they are totally inapplicable to Shiva. They are, to a very considerable extent, they are applicable to Shiva also. Because for someone who is at the ground level, his immediate authority is his boss. He may not have access to the supreme authority all the time. So he will see, you are my guru. Right? One does not have access to guru. So he is having access to guru's senior disciple, say counselor, or his service authority, whatever. For him, he is everything. His connection to Krishna is through this immediate person. Right? Sometimes in his glorification to that person, he may put him at the level of guru also. And that is good attitude also. So from his side, he should not think like that. So that Shiva is anyways not doing. So there is no contradiction in this. And whatever needs to be clarified, proper clarified in the purport. And something which we feel that over-exaggeration should not be taken very literally. And there could be much more to it which we may not understand at this point because of limited explanation. Hardly one paragraph Prabhupada is giving here and there. So there could be much more depth in this.
Last paragraph Prabhupada is writing that, no, that Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all pervading expansion. In that sense, that can be considered true also what you are saying.
Because ground level situation is more known. And regarding your question, Prabhu, just as I was speaking, I just got this thought. Material nature is the is considered the mother, right? And the representative of that material nature, and the personification of that material nature is Parvati. So material nature is mother, Parvati is mother, and who controls Parvati, who controls the material nature? Ultimately the Supreme Lord, but as Shiva. So mother's husband, father. So Shiva is the direct controller of Parvati, who is the personification of material nature. Thus they both can be called father and mother. Right? Creators. Material nature provides the bodies of all living entities. Right? So that was creation only. Brahmaji does. Brahmaji does through the matter. But the deity, the presiding deity of the entire matter is Parvati. And her husband is Lord Shiva. That way they can be considered creators also. So this is like one thought that comes to my mind. Contact. Lord is contacting through Shiva. Like that. Because controller, Prakriti should have a controller, Purusha. And that Purusha controls Prakriti in the capacity of being Lord Shiva. In that sense. And Brahmaji is like the executor. So we need to see these two, and how much can we mix these two roles as creators. And we need a little more explanation, more references to understand it deeper. Based on whatever is available, I just mentioned. 33. Read the translation.
When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burned to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Dakshayagya, Tripurasur, and the Kalapur poison? Such activities cannot be subject matter for prayers offered to you.
So Krishna, Shiva wanders in the crematorium and some mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Some people think like that because of Shiva's attire and activity. Daksha pointed out that. Daksha is one typical example of misunderstanding Shiva's position based on his external attire and activity. And he also has envy and hatred towards Lord Shiva.
And Chitraketu is another example of being concerned about people's misunderstanding about Lord Shiva. Chitraketu was concerned. Seeing your attire and activities, people will misunderstand you. I am very concerned about it. So like that, Chitraketu became concerned in that, in his expression of concern in a public forum, he became an object of Mother Parvati's anger. So there is always a misunderstanding about Shiva's position. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva. Such people are shameless. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Daksha is one example. Tattasya te sadasatoh paratah parasya. Nanyah swarupa gamane prabhavanti bhumnah. Brahmadayah kimutasam stavane vayantu. Tat sarga sarga vishaya apishakti matram.
Even personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot understand your position, for you are beyond the moving and non-moving creation. Since no one can understand you in truth, how can one offer you prayers? It is impossible. As far as we are concerned, we are creatures of Lord Brahma's creation. Under the circumstances, therefore, we cannot offer you adequate prayers, but as far as our ability allows, we have expressed our
Etat param prapashyamo.
Etat param prapashyamo.
Naparam te maheshwara.
Naparam te maheshwara.
Mrudanaya hilokasya.
Mrudanaya hilokasya.
Vyaktiste vyakta karmanaha.
Vyaktiste vyakta karmanaha.
O greatest of all rulers, your actual identity is impossible for us to understand. As far as we can see, your presence brings flourishing happiness to everyone. Beyond this, no one can appreciate your activity. We can see this much and nothing more.
So they concluded their prayers by saying this.
Here is Prabhupada is reading.
When the demigods offered prayers to Shiva, their inner purpose was to please him, to rectify the disturbance. Ah, that is there.
No, then he says this is because of attachment. It's certainly because of deep rooted desire he wanted to fulfill. He wants
people. When one worships demigods, this is certainly because of deep rooted desires he wants fulfilled by the mercy of those demigods. People are generally attached to worship of demigods on some motive. Yeah, it's a general statement about the demigod worship. And here definitely the demigods are inclined to get assistance from Lord Shiva. But the point was like whether they are somehow or the other just over glorifying him so that he can come and attend to us. It could be.
Whether they are flattering or they do.
Generally those who approach demigods have this kind of motives.
As if before they had this problem, Brahma with Lord Shiva had gone to Vishnu for praying before some chapter before. But actually Vishnu, Shiva was also involved when they were praying to Lord. That he come and then Lord gives the plan and everything. Initially when they were praying, Lord Brahma had taken them to milk ocean where they were praying. That time Lord Shiva was also present. Initially only both of them only could see Lord, Brahma and Shiva. But in that sense Lord Shiva was also there present. And I'm just saying that he was also involved initially. So.
Not correct. So now this particular activity Krishna wanted Shiva to do. And Shiva is obliged. Shiva is just following the will of the Supreme Lord. That's all. Yeah,
question. So this particular statement, the first statement that the demigods offered these prayers to Lord Shiva, their inner purpose was to please him. Actually, we are able to see that the etiquette that the demigods are following is before taking help of Lord Shiva, are requesting him for some particular thing. They are glorifying him and then telling the thing that they want. In our dealings, if we want to apply this, if we try to say, you know, appreciate a person, something like that. The person on the other side will always say, what do you want of me?
Come to the point.
Come to the point.
Speak business.
How do we apply this particular etiquette?
It all depends on case to case basis, person to person basis. When we are approaching some people for some favor, definitely it's a general rule or general etiquette that you go and appreciate the other devotee for what he actually contributed as a genuine expression of your appreciation for his activity. Not like a strategy or not like a policy, not like a anything like that.
Agenda
or something like that. You genuinely value his contribution. You just mention it. Just one or two sentences. If you are too overwhelming, you may speak little more also. But then you come to the point also. Why exactly you approached him? You write a mail. Just write one or two sentences about appreciating the devotee. It's a genuine expression. And then come to the point why you are writing the mail, what exactly you need from him and all. And some people may not like it. You directly speak to the point. Then you directly speak. Simple. If you understand that this person doesn't want any buffer in before, right? Doesn't like to be appreciated so much, or he may perceive that even if I appreciate genuinely, he will think that I am doing it only to flatter him so that I can do this work. And if you sense that, or just please avoid it. Just to make the transaction more nice, right? So this the principle of appreciating another Vaishnava's glory and his glorious contributions is universal. You should do that. Sometimes you may verbally speak it, sometimes you may publicly express it, sometimes you may personally express it, sometimes you may keep it in your heart only, you may not express it also. It depends on the time, place, circumstances and the person actually in consideration. Second principle is when the other devotee is not very appreciative of your appreciation, right? If he is not wanting that, then you can please avoid it. But if he feels okay, then you can always express it. Some people actually need encouragement. Some people look for that encouragement. I am doing so much work, hardly anyone acknowledges me. If you sense it, you can always appreciate. You can always express your appreciation and remind him. Because not everyone is a pure devotee. Right? You cannot apply topmost Vaishnava principles in every dealing. Means expecting the other person to be at that platform. Right? You can always, if you sense that he needs some encouragement, you can always speak. If you feel that he is bothered if I speak some appreciation, he will not speak. So it all depends on case to case basis. But the principle of appreciating a Vaishnava is always wonderful. To what extent one should do, that depends. Sometimes in some chapters you see that appreciation for 10, 15, 20, 30 verses. Sometimes you will see only 2, 3 verses. So it's all subjective.
Same thing, you got to the Gadichi.
Hardly 2, 3 verses. Not even that also.
Yeah.
And he was ready to accept their proposal and then that. There is no replacement to gaining some maturity and intelligence and common sense to act according to the circumstances and time and place and the people whom we are dealing with. We cannot apply one formula everywhere. So we need to adjust and accommodate according to the people whom we are dealing with. But the Vaishnava principles are universal. How much we should apply and all we should. Some outside person, if you just go and then start in our own typical ISKCON sale, you just start glorifying left, right, center. You will get bewildered at what's happening. Why this sadhu is speaking so much about me? Yeah, you may genuinely speak, but the other person will get bewildered, shocked. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. Does it make sense? Tadvikshavyasanam तासाम
तद्विक्षरसनम तासाम
कृपया भृशा पीडिता सर्वभूत सहृद देवा इदमाह सतीं प्रियाम Sarvabhuta Suhrid Deva. Lord Shiva is well-wisher of all living entities. Kripaya. He is so compassionate upon them. So he immediately responded. These people came to me when I am for some favor. They see that I am able to counteract it or they are needing help from me. I should immediately assist them. However, Shiva did not want to do it without the consent of Mother Parvati. It's a very serious thing. Drinking poison. The help that they wanted is drinking poison. So he must actually consult his wife before getting into it. So Shiva told Parvati. Sri Shiva Uvacha.
Sri Shiva Uvacha.
Aho Vata Bhavan Yetat.
Aho Vata Bhavan Yetat.
Prajanam Pashya Vaishasam.
Prajanam Pashya Vaishasam.
Kshiroda Mathanod Bhutat.
Kshiroda Mathanod Bhutat.
Kalakuta Dupasthitam.
Kalakuta Dupasthitam.
My dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the milk ocean. Kalakota upasthitam. Kalakota upasthit is present now. How did it come? Kshiroda mathano udbhutat. It came out, it manifested from Kshirasagar mathan. Asam prana pari sunam.
Asam prana pari sunam.
Vidheyam abhyayam hime.
Vidheyam abhyayam hime.
Etavani prabhorartho.
Etavani prabhorartho.
Yaddina paripalanam.
Yaddina paripalanam.
He said,
it is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly, it is the duty of the master to protect his suffering
devotees. This is very important statement made by Lord Shiva. Asam prana paripsunam. Prana paripsunam means one who is desirous of protecting their prana, their life. Vidheyam abhyayam hime. So vidheyam means the obligation that one has. Abhyayam hime. Abhayam means safety. So abhayam is my vidheyam. To give fearlessness or to give an assurance of safety to people who are being tormented by some misery is my obligation, is my duty, is my responsibility. So a responsible devotee, a compassionate devotee always feels that it is my responsibility to educate people in general and bring them to Krishna consciousness and give them devotional service, to protect them in all ways. So I can, because I know what is the right thing to do, that is to perform bhakti to Krishna. And I should inform other people also who do not know this about performing bhakti to Krishna. This is the theme that Prabhupada brings out. So a devotee, although he is in a comfortable situation, he feels that it is his obligation, it is his vidheyam, it is his duty to show compassion on people in general. So it's a dutiful attitude of a devotee which he takes up very voluntarily. It's a voluntarily attributed duty. No one is imposing upon him. And such a voluntary acceptance of duty to deliver people in general is very dear to Krishna. That will come little later. So Shiva's attitude is, he is thinking that it is his duty to keep the people safe. Next verse is also very wonderful. प्राणैः स्वैः प्राणिनः पान्ति साधवः क्षणभङ्गुरैः बद्धवैरेषु भूतेषु मोहितेष्वात्ममायया. पीपल इन जनरल बीइंग बिविल्डर्ड बाय माया आर ऑलवेज engaged in animosity towards one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own lives, they will try to save them. Pranaihi swaihi, their own lives, praninaha panti. Devotees spare their own lives to protect people in general. Prani is a person, is an embodied being. Pranaihi, panti means to protect. Pranaihi swaihi praninaha. One will dedicate one's own prana to protect other pranis. That's the first line. Pranaihi swaihi praninaha panti. One will dedicate one's own life to protect the lives of people who are in need. Who are they? Sadhavaha. They are all called sadhavas, great devotees. And how do they spare, why do they spare their prana? They understand that our prana is kshanabhangurahi. It's very temporary. It's momentary. It stays for a moment. On the scale of eternity, once few decades of life is only kshanabhangurahi. So once short-lived life can definitely be spared for others' welfare. Pranair ardhair dhiya vacha sreya acharanam sada. So this is the attitude of great souls. To extend themselves, to stretch themselves for the people in general, right? So this attitude is reflected in our day-to-day dealings with other people with whom we are living. So I have certain activities to do, and I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. So these are like my obligatory duties or my official, formal activities or duties, right? Everyone has that kind of list. But if one goes one step ahead and tries to stretch oneself, although it is not his obligation, although it is not his duty, although it is not his official or formally assigned task, still he extends himself by sparing his extra time and energy, or somehow squeezing out within all the activities that he is doing, somehow squeezing out some of his time and spare it for others. I will spare my this much time or this much energy or these many resources for your welfare. So it comes, what is that called? Charity begins at home, something like that. So one needs to extend oneself first for one's own welfare. That is what? By doing their sadhana, Janma Sartak Kari, by doing their basic sadhana and then study and seva and all those things. That is like austerity for oneself. And there is austerity for others who are your immediate neighbors. Then there is austerity for the entire humanity, entire world to be done. So sadhus voluntarily accept this as their own responsibility. They don't withdraw or they don't hold back their energies or resources or time or anything that is there in their possession. They always want to give it for others' welfare. That is the, and that such a person will become very dear to the Lord, as the next verses reveal. Now Shiva's attitude is like that. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Devata Dharmasilasya Sudukhitasya. Because people are absorbed in a lot of dukkha, apparently Shiva is protecting these demigods and demons also from poison. It's like totally on an external level from one sense. But through that he is giving a very grave message that one should work for the spiritual welfare of everyone, entire humanity. Right? Here, demigods need to be protected. Why? They are the universal administrators. And why universal administrators have to be protected? Because there should not be any imbalance in the this cosmic management, cosmic government. If demons take over,
or if no one occupies those posts, entire universe will be in imbalance. So if universe is not balanced properly, right, with the proper management, then what will happen? People will not have proper direction and things are not met. Now suddenly why fire department closes down? How will the living entities conduct themselves? Simple thing. In this place, maintenance department doesn't function. You have no electricity, you have no water, plumbing is not there, and then drainage is not working, and all these are not happening. How will we perform devotional service? Right? How can we chant? How can we take bath and come for Mangal Arati? Right? That's like one department. So like that, in the universe also, there are so many departments taken care by different demigods. So they need to be protected. This is, seemingly it is a service done on a material platform, external platform, but it is having a very glorious spiritual purpose also. Right in the beginning, when third and the fifth chapter, when all the personified elements offer prayers to Mahavishnu, you remember that? Personified elements offer prayer to Mother Mahavishnu, all the 23 elements, their presiding deities. So there, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes an important element, important purport, that all these material elements are the causes of entanglement. What do they do? These material elements, they form these material bodies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, all of them combine together. Intelligence, ego, mind, all these, they combine together and make the bodies of living entities. And the soul is entrapped in that body. And he will undergo so many such negative experiences, and then he will get attached to this body, and this he will get attached to his relatives' bodies, his sons and his daughters and his wife and all their bodies, and then he will be totally immersed in bodily conception. These elements should not be respected. One may think like that, and if one thinks like that, he is wrong. Why? These material elements only are facilitating for the formation of all these bodies. At the same time, these material elements only combine with each other and give us grains, water, earth, fire, ether, and all the ingredients for our worship of the Supreme Lord. Unless they form grains, how can we cook food and offer it to the deity? Unless they give us flowers, how can we offer patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam to the deity? They give us the grass and other things, how can we conduct sacrifices? Right? So like that, all the material elements and the controllers of this material nature, who are the demigods, they need to be protected. Why Krishna has to bother so much to protect these demigods from various demons' attacks every now and then? Every now and then there is some attack of some demon on the demigods, and Krishna takes an incarnation or does something to reinstate them in their situations, because universal administrative system, Krishna has to take care. So why Krishna is favoring demigods so many times repeatedly, although many times their problems are because of their own mistakes, still Krishna attends to them, gives them solutions. One person may do some mistake being in a position, but the leader has the responsibility to rectify that mistake and again keep that person or any other person to be in that position so that the service can run. Okay, this person is not, he did some mistake, let me remove him. Then who else will sit there? Someone has to sit there, right? Either you rectify that person, give him good consciousness and make him sit here, or you employ some other person. But that post cannot be empty. That's what the sages did in Vena's episode. They found that Anga just left in the middle of the night. So there is no king, so they made Vena the king. And Vena is behaving very whimsically. They killed Vena and they started doing their japa. Then suddenly they found that all the these thieves and rogues, they are becoming more prominent. They immediately churned Vena's body and then brought Pratu Maharaj and reinstated him there. Right? So definitely the
main function that one has to do is spiritual activity. Spiritual devotional service is definitely most important thing, but these supporting elements of management and administration and keeping people in different roles and training them and making sure that they are taking their responsibilities to conduct various affairs in this material world, that's very important. That's why demigods are very crucial in this universe. So we need not worship them as the supreme lords, but we should definitely give them the due respect for what they are, in their assisting the supreme lord in universal, the cosmic management system. For a simple organization or a temple to function, we need different managers to take care. Unless they work, people in general cannot perform devotional service. Unless the maintenance team and kitchen team and the DT team or who else, plumbing people, electricity people, accounts team, my god, 8 hours they will sit and then write all the payment requests and then dispatch bills and VAT, GST, CST, all that they have to do. Some people may say that there is no spiritual content in this activity, but they are doing a thankless task. Unless they do that thankless task, we cannot perform devotional service. So it's the duty of everyone to respect them and give them whatever assistance they need. Aligning with the very Hamesha accounts department, itna rules bana ke rakhte. They don't allow us to be peaceful. That's violence. Right? Unless they do, that's all. Demigod's role. Simple. Anyone is in a managerial position is like a mini demigod. Right? So it's up to the person who is in that managerial position to keep his consciousness proper and convert that mixed consciousness into pure consciousness, if he has mixed consciousness. Some people will do that in a pure consciousness without any controlling attitude. Right? So these are certain things. All these are favorable elements for devotional service. That's why the Lord has to support this Samudra Manthan, why Shiva has to attend to this. He said, I will do japa. You also do japa. Bas. Forget this halahal. That will go away. He attended to it. So sometimes this Samudra Manthan episode and what Shiva did, what the Lord did, all these things, and many times demigod rescuing the demigods, all these are understood or misunderstood by some people as they're not very spiritually enlivening events or episodes, but they're very much needed. Why, right? Why? Otherwise they cannot find their place in Bhagavata. I went into some other, but that was needed, right? Somehow I'm inspired. Samsara Davanila, Prabhupada writes. And Prabhupada is giving spiritual lessons from this also. Materialistic life is therefore compared to Samsara Davanala, a blazing forest fire that automatically takes place. Shiva and his followers in the Parampara system try to save people from this dangerous condition of materialistic life. Now people's question would be, Shiva just drank poison and protected them from the poison, whom he protected? Demigods, done. So where is the spiritual thing? Prabhupada is squeezing out spiritual lessons from this. People will say like this. But that is needed for us to perform spiritual devotional service. Unless the administration is proper, where is the facility for practice? Right. 40. Pumsaha Kripayato Bhadre.
Pumsaha Kripayato Bhadre.
Sarvatma Priyate Harihi.
Sarvatma Priyate Harihi.
Priyeham Sacharacharaham.
Priyate
Haro Bhagavati.
Priyate Haro Bhagavati.
Priyeham Sacharacharaham.
Priyeham Sacharacharaham.
Tasmadidam garam bhunje.
Tasmadidam garam bhunje.
Prajanam swasir astume.
Prajanam swasir astume.
My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others,
lot of time,
the Supreme Personality of Hari is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased. along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me.
Hmm. Now, just to continue, Yatra is coming, right? Some people book Yatra tickets. They will stand in line for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Some people will go, some devotees will go in the night, late in the night, and sit in the railway station queue, so that early morning, as soon as they open the counter, they can take the tickets. Because the entire compartment has to be booked by devotees only. Right? So these are all thankless services. Right? So one needs to identify the spiritual nature of the apparent simple activities that are done on an external plane. There is a spiritual, these activities are of the spiritual nature, many of these small things. Okay, so one should not think that the core Bhagavatam study, japa, doing kirtan, worshipping the deities, or maybe cooking bhoga. So these are only core spiritual activities. Remaining are all the managerial activities, or the accounts, or financial things, or administrative things, and maintenance, plumbing, this and that. They are not actually spiritual. Right? One should not tend to think like that. So, however, there should be a balance, because although the activity is ultimately spiritual activity, the person who is acting, the person who is actually serving, because he also is a struggling sadhaka, he needs to take core spiritual nourishment, spiritual nourishment from these core activities of direct shravanam, kirtanam, archanam, vandanam, etc. Kirtan and all this, he needs to definitely take something, but one should not underestimate or minimize the value of those services. Yatra management, so much of management, ticket booking and accommodation thing. Some people go for advanced party. Whole day they are going to different lodges. They will go to this lodge and that lodge, this restaurant, and then we need room booking, how much you will charge for this. 10 people will stay, 20 people will stay. For family people, this is there. From brahmachari, this will be there. Rope lines, how do we manage rope lines? How do we manage hot water? All whole day they just go like that. 4 or 5 days will go in advanced party. Then they will say, am I doing spiritual activity? And other people will think, are they doing spiritual activity? So one should not immaturely think that this is spiritual activity, that is not. However, there should be a balance between this and that, so that one gets the core nourishment from the main activities also, and one should be responsible in doing other activities also. That way. That's why a combination is always good for a growing devotee. A combination of this and that. This is done. Let me drink the poison for all the living entities. May this become happy because of me. Like that. And because of me, that word also, we should not take it literally. At least one should think that I must certainly act. Only if I act, there will be welfare or some positive transformation in this thing. So one should be eager to act, eager to take up that service, but not in the mood of doership. If I don't act, no one can act. That could be a drive also. Before anyone grabs it, I will grab it and then do this service for all these Vaishnavas. One may think like that. But not in a sense of egoistic attitude or gratification that no one else can do except me. Right? It's not ego. It's an enthusiasm to render service. Because there are so many people who can do it. I am not the only person who can do it. In that mood, there is positive. The positive side is humility, but there could be a negative side also, irresponsibility. राइट, अदर्स विल डू, आई विल नॉट डू. इतना कचरा पड़ा है, ठीक है, कोई भी करेगा, मैं जाता हूँ. इट्स नॉट ह्यूमिलिटी, इट्स इररिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी. राइट, व्हेन देयर इज अ रिलक्टेंस टू डू दैट सर्विस, व्हेन देयर इज अ रिलक्टेंस टू एक्सेप्ट दैट टास्क व्हिच इज कॉजिंग अल्टीमेटली बेनिफिट टू ऑल द वैष्णवस, एंड देयर इज अ पर्सनल व्हाट टू से सेल्फिश एटीट्यूड बिहाइंड इट, इट्स इररिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी. बट देयर इज एंथुसियाज्म to do that service, but giving credit to someone else, right? So that is not considered over enthusiasm or trying to control or trying to show off. That's not the thing, because one may accept the responsibility to show off also, one may not accept the responsibility because he doesn't like to do it also. I'm not sure if I put it in the right words and all, but you got the intent, right? So because in accepting or not accepting does not decide when the other one is humble or arrogant. One can be humble by accepting also, by not accepting also. One can be arrogant by accepting also, by not accepting also. Right? One can think that I am the doer by accepting also, by not accepting the service also. One can still be humble and I am not the doer attitude, giving credit attitude, while not accepting also, while accepting also. Ultimately it's personal. One has to judge for oneself. 41. Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. After informing Bhavani in this way, Shiva began to drink the poison. And Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him permission also. So Bhavani, being a very chaste wife of Lord Shiva, understood the intention of Lord Shiva and understood the purpose there, and she did not stop. Hey, you are my husband, if you drink poison what will happen to me? So that you are capable and they are in need, I must allow this to happen. So a chaste wife will not block the husband from doing any positive activity, welfare activity. So Bhavani is very exemplary in allowing Lord Shiva to do it. Thereafter, Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. Now poison is so much, but Shiva had the power to condense the whole thing and take it in his palm and then drink. And so much poison, he need not take a glass, dusra glass, teesra glass. The poison is not pipe, but poison is not stored in different containers and he is taking one by one. He could condense the whole thing and then take it. You condense like 2 liters milk into just one palm full of rabdi, right? So like that. Shiva could condense it. What is that called? Rasna. Condensing. Just 250 ml or whatever, you make 2 liters of rasna and then show it. Concentrated. He made it concentrated and then drank it and stored it here also. He did not allow it to pass down. As if in defamation, the poison born from the ocean of milk manifested its potency by marking Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is not accepted, is now accepted as an ornament. Neelakantha. Shiva is called as Neelakantha. Tapyante lokatapena.
Tapyante lokatapena.
Sadhavah prayashojana.
Sadhavah prayashojana.
Paramaradhanam taddhi.
Paramaradhanam taddhi.
Purushasya akhilatmana.
Purushasya akhilatmana.
Tapyante lokatapena. Tapyante means one undergoes suffering voluntarily, not imposed suffering. Tapyante, for what? Lokatapena, to mitigate the sufferings of people in general, right? Someone else is suffering, to stop their suffering I will take suffering. That is called paradukha dukhi Vaishnava. Tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayaso janah. Sadhavah means great devotees, prayaso means always. Almost always, not always, almost always.
Janah means sometimes there is an exception also. Because of certain considerations and circumstances, one may not be able to extend. Okay. Not always, but almost always. Sadhavaha prayasho janaha. And that kind of extending oneself or stretching oneself for the welfare of people in general is very dear to the Lord. That will make one dear to the Lord. Paramaradhanam taddhi. It is the topmost form of worship of the Supreme Lord. Purushasya akhilatmanaha. Purusha, the Supreme Lord, Akhilatmanaha, is the soul of all souls. Such a person becomes extremely pleased if one extends oneself for the welfare of people in general. Prabhupada was staying in Vrindavan. Many people are not even leaving Vrindavan, not even going to Mathura. They want to live there, they want to die there, they want to just perform devotional service there. All the temples of Vrindavan, they will go for Mangalarti, they will attend all the aartis. Right? But Prabhupada coming into that ambience of Vrindavan, he was thinking that the people of the Western world, they don't know Vrindavan, they don't know Krishna, they have not heard the name Vrindavan, and they don't know what it means to live without sense gratification. They think that life means to gratify senses, nothing else. So I must give this experience of Vrindavan. I must take this Vrindavan to the Western world and inspire them to come here. That's what he was thinking at the age of 65, 60, like that, when he entered. And in a couple of years, he also went to the West and then brought the people here. So such kind of sacrifice for the spiritual well-being of people in general is very laudable, and that makes one very dear to the Lord. That's the whole theme of this purport. So tapa, tapa is of two types. It can be of many types, but you can classify it into two types also. One is that tapa which you take up for one's own purification, for self-purification. That is, for example, there is vangmayam tapa. What is that? Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat. Svadhyaya bhyasanam cheva vangmayam tapa uchyate. That is the austerity of speech. There is austerity of mind, austerity of body, austerity of this. All that are listed in Bhagavad Gita. So these are all the austerities that one does for oneself. Tapa is basically an activity which causes inconvenience to us but brings about greatest welfare in future. Right? Voluntarily accepting inconvenience for a higher purpose, for a greater benefit, is called tapa. That kind of tapa counteracts tapa. Tapa counteracts tapa. Just put a bar and the A. Right? Tapa is misery, material miseries. Right now one does tapa and then people will think that, hey, how much tapa he is doing, so much austerity he is doing, so much misery he is undergoing. But this misery that he is undergoing voluntarily will relieve him from the threefold miseries of material existence for the for good. So that people cannot understand. Now they say that right now we are enjoying. We are not miserable. We are enjoying all kinds of comforts. But these people are, they are not enjoying. They are undergoing misery. Apparently what they are doing seems to be misery now. But they are, that's the process of coming out of threefold miseries. But you people apparently are enjoying, but you are actually suffering, and you are unable to realize that you are suffering, and you are increasing your suffering, future suffering also. Janasya Krishna, what is that verse? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanyaduparamamva vindeta bhuyastata eva dukham yadattarayuktam bhagavan vadenaha. In this world, people perform so many karmas, activities for sukha, happiness. But they don't get sukha, they get dukkha. And they cannot counteract their dukkha, but their endeavors for sukha that give them dukkha will not continue, will not stop also. They will not become detached from their endeavors for happiness, although they are giving only distress. Klesha Guriyar Prasad. Klesha Bhuri Alpasara. That is Soham Ranam Kshulla Sukhaya Dukkham Mahad. Kshilla sukhaya dukkham mahad. That verse, right? 3.8.2. For kshilla sukha, there is
Mahat Dukkha. The supreme welfare activity is spreading Krishna consciousness. In this context, Prabhupada is giving these lessons. So one cannot misunderstand that what Shiva has done is a material welfare activity and Prabhupada is giving us lesson on spiritual welfare activity. What Shiva has done is ultimately leading to spiritual welfare of entire universal residents under the will of Krishna. Otherwise, why Krishna doesn't have any work or what? Why he has to spare so much time orchestrating the Samudra Manthan? And Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, the greatest Vaishnava, he doesn't have work or what? Why he has to engage in this? The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada quotes Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya and all that. Second kind of tapasya.
Second kind
of for others welfare, correct. Extending oneself for others welfare. One's own purification and others welfare, correct. The Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. It's not very comfortable to extend oneself for others welfare. Whole day someone is working, for what? I am preaching so and so place. These boys are not doing the management. So much of management there also. But it's a life of selflessness. The life of a preacher is the life of selflessness. Just giving one's time, energy, intelligence, mind, resources, everything to bring people to Krishna consciousness, to inspire people to worship Krishna. So such kind of self, that is the greatest opportunity that Prabhupada has given to all his followers. You perfect your life by accepting the process that I have recommended, and you assist in the perfection of others' lives by communicating this process to them and finding out ways and means by which people can get connected to this process. By Prabhupada's mercy, millions of devotees are getting this kind of engagement. Otherwise, most people, they work, everybody works in this material world. Nobody is sitting idle. But most of them work on a material platform for their own welfare, or at the max, for the material external welfare of people who are connected with them. But this kind of topmost welfare activity, not everyone can get to do. By Prabhupada's mercy, we all become a part of this kind of welfare activity. So, Nishamya Karmatat Shambhur, Shambhor, Deva Devasya Midushaha. Praja Dakshayani Brahma, Vaikunthascha Shashamsire. Upon hearing of this act, everyone, including Bhavani, Brahma, Vishnu and people in general very highly praised this deed performed by Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benedictions upon the people. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs and other animals whose bites are poisonous took the opportunity to drink whatever little maha poison. Maha of Mahadev. So had fallen and scattered from Shiva's hand while he was drinking. He just made it palmful, just few drops fell down. We have that beautiful painting, all the people. Yeah, this one. On the cover page it's there. Okay. And the churning of milk ocean continued. Upon Shiva, I'll just read few verses from the 8th chapter. We have just few minutes. 1:30, right? Till 1:30 we can go, right? Some 6-7 minutes. So upon Shiva's drinking the poison, both the demigods and demons, being very pleased, began to churn the ocean with renewed vigor. As a result of this, there appeared a cow known as Surabhi. Okay. So we can discuss somewhere in the later classes all the list of most important crucial
application lessons that we can take from this entire Samudra Manthan episode at the end of the episode, some pointers. And one common theme that we can see is every time there is a danger and someone will intervene, either the Lord or Shiva or someone else will intervene and mitigate that danger, and there is happiness. So one small message that it gives is the happiness in this world is there in counteracting miseries. Misery is a constant theme, and whenever there is a mitigation of misery, there is some happiness. Spike or whatever you say, it just comes up and misery will continue, and suddenly that misery is counteract. When the misery becomes a little too much to handle, someone else will come and then counteract that misery, and then there is some happiness. Happiness of the counteracting of misery, and then the misery will continue in a low profile, and it will become high profile, and then someone will come to counteract. That is happening. Now some, a series of good incidents also will happen, good results will come. First Surabhi came. So Surabhi is the cow, and Prabhupada writes that Surabhi is the source of milk, and milk is the source of curd, curd is the source of buttermilk, and butter is the source of ghee. Ghee is used in sacrifices. Thus Surabhi is the source of all this sacrifices. Source means like it gives the main ingredient for the sacrifices. And one should not give up sacrifices. Ignai dhanai tapai karma pavanani manishnaha. Okay. Milk is produced when there are sufficient cows. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, cow protection is recommended. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam, all that. Next, second verse. Great sages who were completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of Surabhi cow. Because sages perform sacrifices, it's better that the Surabhi cow is given in their protection. Okay. So they did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems up to Brahmaloka. Surabhi cows are found in Vaikuntha planets, as described in Brahma Samhita. Surabhir abhipalayantam. Milk is necessary for performance of yajna. All this I mentioned. Next, a horse came. The horse name is Uchchaishrava. It's like white as moon. And Bali took it. Bali desired to possess this horse, and Indra did not protest, because Lord says, whatever these demons wanted, right, you should allow them to take. You should focus on nectar. Don't be diverted by the momentary failures and successes. When demons could not lift Mandara mountain, and they fell and broke their thighs and limbs and hands and shoulders, Krishna did not neglect to revive them and again rejuvenate them to participate in the Samudra Manthan. So demigods had an opportunity at that time to protest. Why are you reviving them? You should revive only them, only us. No. Don't try to be greedy for these small results that you will get, because that might affect your final result. Now Indra did not become greedy for Uchchaishrava. Okay, let it be taken by Bali. He is enthusiastic to take it. Then Airavata came. So this Airavata was given to this Indra. The elephant was white and it had four tusks, not two. And four tusks, it defied the glories of Kailasha mountain. And thereafter the eight great elephants also came, which could go in any direction, were generated. Means these, these elephants will not walk on the land only. They can go in any direction. Eight directions. Next, eight she-elephants also came, headed by Abhramu, who were also generated. So, generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated gems of Kaustubhamani and Padmaragamani. Vishnu took it. Vishnu decorated his chest.
generated next was the Parijata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O king, you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions. The Parijata fulfills the desires of everyone. Okay. So, during our overview session, there will be a quiz. I will show the image of the object that is produced, and you should say who took possession of it. Okay. Next, there are Apsaras. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets and were dressed in fine, attractive clothing. The Apsaras were moving very slowly in attractive style, and that bewilders the inhabitants of heavenly planets. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. So from here I will not take, because so far only like one or two verses are describing what was produced and who took possession of it. But Lakshmi, when she came out, there is a big episode of Lakshmi Swayamvar. She goes, who is my husband? And she goes and analyzes everybody there. Oh, this person has this fault. He's good in this area, but he has this fault. Finally, she found only Supreme Lord Narayana without any faults, and she marries him. So that will be covered by Rishikraman Prabhu this evening. We are launching him in your batch. Thank you all very much. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya.